Hello, good people. This is We Watch Stuff 98. It's an energetic opening. I'm Jeremy. Shahid's on the other end, as always. It's been two shows since I've said that, by the way. So, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just enjoying my week. Hope everyone's enjoying theirs, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about.
So, you went and saw Fate of the Furious again, and... which, all right. I'll put that off to the side. What did you think going the second time? Did you enjoy it the same, or did you pick up on anything new?
I picked up on some things new, like little things, like the whole like reveal, like Dom's Cross having a tracker device. Mm-hmm. He was working on it like before he got the call.
Yeah.
I didn't notice it the first time. I noticed it the second time. Just beyond that, like here and there, just how the fight scenes look. I was paying attention more, and it was different. I was kind of dozing off a little bit because I went with my wife this time, and we went like the afternoon, so it might have been maybe like 9 to 10 people there. And the theater we went to, they had just renovated the seats, so the seats are a lot more comfortable. So they're easy to, like, it's real easy to doze off if you're tired. So I had to catch myself.
Yeah, old man. Those 4 o'clock matinees, those got to be a bitch to stay awake for. So, especially on, what did you go on, a Thursday? Wednesday?
Wednesday. Yeah, I went on a Wednesday. So, yeah. I enjoyed it. My wife enjoyed it a lot. She was asking me a few questions, but she kind of knew enough, so she didn't have to ask me too many questions like who's this or who's that guy and stuff. Like sometimes with Marvel movies, where it's kind of like if you don't pay attention, then a lot of times you're like, well, who's this guy and who's that guy? And with this one, she's watched enough of them, so she knows, like, for the most part, what's going on. So she asked lots of questions. She had fun. I had fun.
Cool.
And that's the point of going to movies, is having fun.
Well, not if there's eight of them, though. Because if there's eight of a specific series of movies, you should stop making them. You know, that's eight's too many. And...
go ahead. I know you want to get... go ahead and start. So...
so how many Star Wars movies have there been? Eight now? Seven? Trilogy, right?
Seven in the trilogy, and one trilogy, seven the main, and then one side movie.
Right, so eight of those. Eight. How many James Bond movies have there been?
24.
Are you shitting me? You knew that?
Yeah, because the next one's the 25th one. That's the only reason I knew.
All right. How many Transformers movies have there been? Six?
There have been four. This next one will be the fifth one.
Wow, that's it? I really thought there was more than that, actually.
There's been five Mission Impossible movies. There's been Star Trek. There's been 12, I think. It's been 12 Star Trek movies.
What about the Harry Potter movies? That was seven? And they even broke one into two parts or something?
Yeah, so eight. There's been eight of those.
And then that Magnificent Twilight. Beast things? That counts. Yes. So that's the Harry Potter world.
It's number nine. Twilight, there was six. Lord of the Rings, counting the Hobbit, there was six.
Oh, God. Yeah, I actually forgot about those. You know, congratulations to me. So I don't understand why I would see, and I've actually seen this, and this is my fault. I'm doing the exact opposite thing that I've told you to do, is to stop looking at this stuff. But this showed up on my Facebook feed, and it's from Liberty Memes. Never heard of them. I've never heard of this before. It's not this kind of stuff I go and look at. It's basically somebody, and I'm sure they just superimposed because the guy had a white sign up. But it says, "Stop making Fast and the Furious movies, please." I expected this to be like, "Hey, look at this asshole," because that's the first thing I thought of. And then I saw a bunch of people, like, I think it's got 25,000 comments or something. The overwhelming majority saying, yeah, I don't know why they're still making these.
Why are you doing this to yourself?
I'm dumbfounded how dumb people are, which I shouldn't be, because that's all social media is for anyways.
There are
24 James Bond movies.
Yes.
No, and... people still go see those, and I don't see people complaining about that. And the James Bond movies, frankly, the old ones, are boring as hell. Maybe back when electricity was new, the James Bond movies were fun. But now... oh, my God. And
We've had mutual friends who have said the same thing.
I always like your response. And not even your response. When you, like, I think it was like your Facebook page, whatever. And the line is, if you don't enjoy these movies, I don't want you in my life, or something like that.
Yeah, we can't be friends.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I'd go so as far as to say, I don't want you in my life because you don't know how to have fun. And the people who will say they don't want any more of these movies or that these movies aren't realistic are the same dummies that go, Harry Potter's really good. I enjoy dragons and wizards and all that stuff. You know, obviously, it's what we start. That's basically how we started talking, was about this sort of garbage. Not even garbage, I'm sorry. This is stuff I enjoy, so it's not. But the idea that some sort of science fiction fantasy is better than, which is what Fast and the Furious is, if you can't understand that by now, that sort of science fiction and fantasy isn't on par with yours, that makes no goddamn sense to me. You'll go see Captain America, which we both loved, but then you'll criticize a Fast and the Furious movie. Like, are you retarded? There's no other way around this. You have some sort of deep, like, you have some sort of resentment towards guys and gals driving cars all over the place. Instead of looking at it going, I just watched a grown man fight with a baby in his arms, shooting people on a plane, while below them, a nuclear submarine is attacking an orange Lamborghini.
Look, people like what they like. And it's fine if you say, you know, you don't like the movie for whatever reason. Like, that's cool, because there's some stuff that people like that I don't like. I've never had a problem with that. I've always had an issue when people make the thing like it's unrealistic and it's silly, and then they talk about how much they love Batman. I'm like, yeah. Serious? Like, really? You going to talk like there's nothing realistic, or like Batman is goofy. I know they make it dark and dreary. Like we've talked about this. If Elon Musk decide, like, no, I'm not going to start PayPal or Tesla. I'm going to take all my money and learn how to fight. I'm going to learn martial arts and become a crime fighter. I'm going to use this Tesla battery to make a Tesla mobile and fight crime in San Francisco. He'd be locked up in jail. We wouldn't be writing comic books about him. Like, you know, we talked about John Wick 2 saying, that's an awesome movie. We love it. A bulletproof dress shirt makes no sense.
Nope.
Like, you know, but we just say, oh, well, it's kind of like if you try to throw pseudoscience at it, you can understand, oh, maybe it's realistic. I'm like, if you watch The Avengers, you can't be turning your nose up at Fast and Furious when you're talking about what's realistic or not, because it's kind of like, if that was realistic, the world would be in a recession. How much you think a SHIELD helicarrier costs? What, a $1 trillion? They've crashed like four of them. Like, are we serious? Like, all the stuff that's happening in that universe, and the government just keeps on going. Like, this, it's a preference. Let's say, you know, it's a preference thing. Don't say, oh, it's dumb and it doesn't make sense and it's silly. And like, because any action movie, if you want to break it down to it, if it's not a Michael Mann movie, it's silly. Like, Die Hard is silly. Mm-hmm. Lethal Weapon is silly and goofy. Like, you can't grow up a Stallone or Schwarzenegger fan and then turn your nose up saying, I don't like silly movies. Because those movies were Rambo 2. He just goes in Vietnam killing everybody with a bow and arrow, blowing up helicopters. And there's no problem. Like, oh, Russia's like, oh, well, that's cool. We just going to let it slide. Like, let's be real about the stuff we watch. Just say, I don't like it because I don't like it. Don't say this whole, it's silly, it's dumb, it's goofy. I can't wait to see Batman versus Superman, though, because that's real. Like, huh? Like, so I always feel the same way you feel. Whenever I see people do that, I just kind of look at them sideways. Like, I ask them, what do you watch? And then based on how they answer, it's kind of like, okay, then it's just a whole snob thing. Because people are snobs about, yeah. I have people at work that laugh at, you know, the fact that I like Fast and Furious and wrestling, but they love Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. That's like,
yeah.
I mean, and I don't watch Walking Dead anymore, but I don't begrudge anybody for watching. I'm like, you watching the show about a bunch of dumb hillbillies that's running around that have no future. If you look at it, each and every week, for how many years it's been on, and you gonna turn your nose at me because I like cars that go fast and The Rock doing rock stuff? Like, let's be real.
Yeah, it's the same people that will go see Marvel movies, and we've talked. endless talk about this, how basically Fast and the Furious is a superhero franchise now. It is science fiction. I mean, this one, as dumb as this is going to sound in the context of this series, this was way more grounded in reality than the last one was. The last one was so over-the-top ridiculous that I don't know what else they could have done other than the proverbial, well, they got to go to space next. I mean, I guess they could go underwater, but...
Well, we did see The Rock basically be bulletproof and bicep curl
rubber bullets. Vet.
Yeah, what I've seen how rubber bullets can do. Like I said, bulletproof. And basically, like I'll rewatch that fight scene. Yeah, besides being the Hulk, he was bouncing off wall. Like he jumped from the balcony, bounced off the wall to the ground, and slid and kept on moving at his size. I'm like, yeah.
Yep.
So it's basically a superhero movie, but they just don't. It's talking about how grounded it is, like with 1,000 zombie cars, and they're fighting against a nuclear submarine while somebody's running around with a baby, killing, like shooting and killing 15 people. it's not that ground. It's just the whole thing. They're not jumping from building to building to building.
Well, it's also we don't have Dom and Ramsey going backwards down the side of a mountain, hitting trees, the car flipping all over, and then they get out and he like cracks his neck and goes, "All right, let's go." Oh.
No, we just have Dom dropping about 100. Yeah, I saw that jump he did even before he chased down the submarine. He's got to be like 100 feet up that damn mountain because he jumped off a damn mountain, landed on ice, then took a ramp to jump over a submarine so he could get hit by a missile, gets caught in the crossfire of the missile, gets out the car that's rolling around about 22 times, and then survives an explosion from a nuclear submarine because cars surround him.
Yep.
So by this point, you know what you're watching. Yep. It's an action movie that is not based in any type of normal physics, and people like talking about who watch. I'm like, the movie made more in its opening week globally than any other movie that has ever come out.
It's made almost $700 million worldwide. It hasn't been out a week yet.
Yeah, that's who watches the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody. It's kind of like it was the biggest opening China ever had. Like, Star Wars would kill to make the money in China that Fast and Furious does.
Yeah, I'm actually comparing it to the last one. Wait a minute. Why are they comparing it to Fast 6?
No, because they use Fast 7 as kind of like a fluke. Cause
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
because it's kind of like no one expected Fast 7 to make the money it made, and a lot of stuff had to happen for it to make the money it made. Like, domestically, it made $50 million less than Fast 7 did, but it made, like, a little bit more than Fast 6. But, like, globally, it made more because it's
–
and even then, it's kind of like we're not really comparing to Fast 7, but – you know, people saying, is this something to be worried about? Like, it made over $500 million this first weekend. Do you know they don't have anything to worry about.
Do you know what the worldwide gross was for Fast 6? $788,679,000. The worldwide gross for Fate of the Furious is at $685 million already. Mm-hmm. That's $100 million less in 1 week than the total for the other one.
These are global. It's a global movie, and it's something that. And I'll say this: for all the faults that Vin Diesel has, one thing he does is incorporate enough worldwide stuff to get a worldwide audience. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he'll add stuff from different cultures, and it never feels like force. It just feels organic. Like, of course, he'd have a Cuban cousin, and they just race in Cuba.
Yeah, why? Because like, you know, he does.
You know, he'll get stars from like different countries and like different music genres, and it just, you know, like, and people forget, even I count him, you got The Rock, who's the biggest movie star on the planet, in this movie, and you have Jason Statham, who's also a worldwide action star in this movie, and you just happen to have an Academy Award winning Charlize Theron, one of the biggest women actresses on the women actress kind of like redundant.
I didn't even pick up on that. I thought it sounded
I never met a male actress before. But, you know, like, one of the biggest actresses on the planet doing this. Like, people like these movies because they like fun. They've been watching these movies for, what, 16 years? 17 years? However long they've been doing these movies? Like, this is why people get tired of franchise, because unlike a lot of the other franchise, it's been most more or less the same people. And that's why people who like the movies enjoy it, because like you have, you know, these people, you've grown up with these characters, and the people who don't, like, oh, we can't, I want to see something different and yada yada yada. I'm like, what movies do you miss? Like, I was you know what it is, I was looking at something in the '90s, like from 1990 to 99, over 400 erotic thrillers were made. 400.
Did you clear that search history when you were done?
No, these are just not even counting Skinamax, indecent, whatever.
I got some brushing up to do.
No, like those Ashley Judd specials, as I like to call them, because she was in quite a few. These are the movies people complain, like, you miss those movies, you miss Morgan Freeman and Monica Potter, or you miss Johnson, you miss what, the General's Daughter, or like Michael Douglas hunting down Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, what are you complaining about this whole, because it's the whole thing with this movie and superhero movies, like, oh, they don't make the movies I like, and I'm like, a lot of that stuff was trash. Like, it was fine back then, and the only thing I might miss is kind of like the prestige action movie, when it was like, you know, when it went from Stallone and Schwarzenegger doing action movies to like Harrison Ford and Nick Cage doing action movies, and like Tommy Lee Jones doing action movies. But other than that, it's like, no, I do not miss, you know, Kiss on the Rose or Kiss the Spider or Along Came Emily.
Oh, yeah. All right, I was like, what the hell of titles are these? No, yeah, I think you're touching on something, though. Because in the 80s, you had Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Van Damme, and Seagal kind of bridged over into the 90s. And then the big stars got into action movies. And then when you're supposed to be embarrassed now by the action movies from the 80s and 90s, because these, you know, real actors took over. And then in the 2000s, you really didn't have that stuff. They were, you know, low budget, straight to, well, DVD, now straight to video. Because, you know, Seagal.
Comic movies killed action movies.
Well, see, I think they just took the place. I think that's a cleverly disguised ploy to bring back action movies, but in the guise of these superhero things, because people were craving for these. And
when I say kill, I don't mean like, you know, I mean kind of like how action movies used to be. Like that whole 80s and 90s thing is kind of like, you don't have like movies like The Rock and Armageddon that anymore, because it's like you got comic movies and Michael Bay, or you got like Michael Bay stop doing Bad Boys and start doing Transformers, and it's like, you know, I can make $200 to $300 million with this type of movie, or I can make $1 billion doing this type of movie. It's like the math is simple, and that's the, like you was talking about before, is like these movies are Schwarzenegger Stallone movies. And then, and the odd thing is, like, people aren't embarrassed, because, like, how can you criticize the movies? Like, if Robert Redford feels like he's good enough to do these movies, who am I to say, who am I to turn my nose down? Yep. Like, Helen Mirren says she wants to be in a Fast and Furious movie. You really going to be like, oh, that movie's dumb. I'm like, you sitting on a couch drinking a Mountain Dew.
You really going to tell Helen? You're sitting in the theater with your Mountain Dew watching the movie. And then I don't know if they need to make these anymore. Until the next one comes out and you go to see that. It's like, and here's the thing. I guess I'm attacking these movies because I watched them all. They were fine. The Harry Potter franchise, if you break that thing down, there's two good movies in that entire thing. The first two are not watchable because those kid actors were the shit. It's not their fault because they weren't actors. They found them, put them in the movies. They got progressively better, but when you start with such a low bar, and then on top of that, Harry Potter is literally the worst hero of any franchise. He has seven movies, I think. Is that what we said? Seven movies?
Uh-huh. His, you only said that because you never saw the Twilight movies.
No. Yeah, it's true. I have not. But at the end, Harry Potter's big plan at the end is he goes to fight Voldemort, gets killed, somehow comes back. Because why? Because he does. And then his big plan after that is, I'm going to tackle Voldemort off the side of the castle. Seven movies, and he doesn't learn anything how to take this guy out without sacrificing himself? Like, this is ridiculous. And everyone's like, oh my god, these are so good. No. Use your head, they're not. Or, Like the Fast and the Furious movies, I'm just going to go and enjoy them. But since people want to enjoy those, and they're like, well, I don't want to enjoy that, so I'm going to criticize that. It's... just enjoy the shit you like, and if you don't want to see something, shut the fuck up.
It comes to it, like, you know, your whole... Yeah, it's kind of like what's in your wheelhouse. Like, certain movies, I know it's not for me because I'm not in their population base. I'm not in their fan base, and that's fine. And it's like, I watch that my own whim. It's just like music. It's kind of, you know, this whole... Because it's really... And it comes a lot of times with comic movies and stuff, or like a lot of action movies where everyone is assumed it's for, quote-unquote, me. Because I might have watched it back in the day, and they're going to play nostalgia. And it's like, it is, but not really. Like, a lot of this stuff is not just... It's for teenagers or for kids. Because they got money... Or their parents have money and they want to buy toys and buy all this stuff. Because keep in mind, a lot of these movies make their money and like merchandise. Like George Lucas is the father of all that. And people tend to forget that. Like, it's like the movie part is nice, but that's like more like a commercial where you can sell these toys over and over again. It's a reason why Iron Man has a new suit every movie. It's not because the old one just went that obsolete or he has OCD. Like, or like Batman gets something updated. Like, well, he didn't finish the product by now. Like, he's still tinkering with the bat suit after how many times? Like,
wasn't that the reason they changed the villain for Iron Man 3?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, you know.
Oh, and it's kind of like, and it's always been that way. Like, we talk like Transformers and G.I. Joe was basically commercials for the toys. That's what the cartoons were. And
it worked.
it basically worked. And it's like it's kind of like people don't like admitting that because like, oh, does that make me feel? I'm like, no, it's like, it's entertainment. Entertainment is meant to be fun or to educate. If you got to stress over it, if you're not having fun watching it, you're not enjoy yourself, you're wasting your time. Like, this isn't a job. This isn't something like, it's not like you going to church. Going to a movie, either you like it or you don't like it. If you don't like Fast and Furious movies, don't like them. I never got the whole thing when people jump on message boards specifically to comment that they don't like something.
I wanted to bring that up too. I don't get that either.
Like, just skip it. Like, all the stuff you can do, just, you don't like it, okay? Like, it's like if I made a joke because I was talking to my friends earlier. Imagine you was just somewhere talking. It's like you and Kevin, you just having a conversation about you like whatever, and then some stranger just runs up to you and say, "I think that sucks," and then walks away. How stupid! Like, when you look at them, like, what's wrong with you? That's the internet. People do that all the time, like letting strangers know how they feel about or how they don't like something, and then just keep on walking and hope someone sees them and says the same thing so they can be stranger friends. I have never gotten that at all. Like, that's always seemed like, if you don't like something, just don't like it. Like, I'll talk to friends about stuff I like and don't like. I couldn't just see myself just randomly talking to strangers. Oh, that movie's stupid. He didn't ask me. He doesn't, like, I don't know him. He doesn't know me. Why am I going, like, I would ask myself, what am I trying to accomplish about that? Like, I already know I don't like something. Now I want him to know. Well, he's going to give me a high five. He's going to give me a thumbs down. Like, what's the end game?
Well, I don't know. Did you listen to the Stunt Granny, 403, I think it was, with me, Chris, and Kevin? We were talking about my NXT experience.
I have not yet.
Okay. So, quick story, and this goes along with this. So, we're watching, and one of the matches was Aleister Black. Or is it Aleister, right? Or is it Alexander? Either way.
I think
Aleister sounds better, actually. So, but against Andrade Cien Almas, I like both guys. I really like Almas, and their pay-per-view match was pretty good. So I was like, well, house show, this could go longer, this is going to be great. It didn't. It went about the same amount of time. But as Almas is coming down, I had no idea who was going to fight. Well, then Black's music plays. I was like, this is going to be great. I was like, this is great. And I just kept saying this is great over and over again because I was genuinely excited about seeing this match, all right? These little doofuses behind me start mocking me. And I let it go, and I just hear them going, oh, this is going to be great. Oh, you think this match will be great? Oh, I think it'll be great. And I finally had enough and turned around and was like, are you talking to me? Are you talking about me? I was like, I'm here to enjoy myself. And they got quiet.
I bet they did.
And they stopped right then. And then, but I'm like, I'm here to enjoy myself. I'm not here to listen to you talk about me enjoying myself in a mocking fashion. I'll take all three of your little dumbasses on. Because that frustrated the shit out of me. I'm like, how dare you? I mean, and then and I was around a lot of wrestling fans, which is the only reason that jarred me was when you said, if like someone comes up to you and just starts talking like, that's stupid, something like that, which is what an NXT show kind of was, except for the kid in front of me who had the Nakamura shirt on, and I don't think he knew Nakamura was going to be there. I think he just had his shirt on in the hopes that he was. So when they announced the main event, that kid lost his shit. He was probably 11, 12 years old. And his dad's there just like, all right, I'm here. So whenever like someone would come up, the kid would take his dad's arm and drag him up. Like, get up. You're supposed to cheer. So when Shinsuke's music went off, that kid was in heaven. And that's where I'm like, that's what you're supposed to be here for. Like, not to support that kid. You know, fuck him. I don't know him. But have fun at these things. Like one guy kept trying to talk to us about like the stuff going on. I'm like, I don't want to talk to you, man. Like, I don't care. I'm here to enjoy myself. I got wrapped up in the DIY Authors of Pain match. The best thing they ever did with NXT is have Joe beat Finn Balor on a house show. Because at the end of this match, DIY set up for their double kick, and Akam or Rezar, whoever, the other guy was nowhere to be found. That crowd was going crazy. I'm like, are we really going to see this? Are we really going to see this? Of course not. They grabbed Gargano, pulled him out, and then they did their finishing move to Ciampa. But it was like, that was the exciting part. It's like, I paid $40 a ticket or whatever to have fun. Not to sit here and criticize and go, oh, you know what they should do better? Ugh. Anyways, since we're talking about wrestling, I'll do a positive. WWE finally released a Braun Strowman shirt. And you know what? It doesn't suck. And you know what else? I ordered one today. But too bad I have to wait till the middle of May for it to actually get shipped.
Look, just be happy that it is a world where, one, there's a Braun Strowman shirt, and two, that you're excited that people have been asking for a Braun. Because let's be real. Who would have thought when he started in those squash matches against James Ellsworth that we would get to this point where, where's the Braun Strowman shirts? Yep. We want Braun. Like, Braun Strowman has been the MVP of Raw multiple times. Like, Monday, he had like a Stone Cold show. He opened the show with a promo. He had multiple skits backstage. He had a main event match, and he left with his hand. He left looking like the tough guy. He's quote unquote a heel. That normally doesn't happen with like, that's like a Roman Reigns thing or like a John Cena thing. You normally don't get that with somebody that's like never been a champ or never had like a main event at a pay per view.
See, is he a heel? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, if you call somebody, look, if you call somebody a piece of trash and then throw them in the trash can,
you kind of
and I laugh because it's like that whole thing is like he's like an 80s villain with 2010 athleticism. Like, Roman Reigns is a piece of trash and now so are you, and then you literally throw them in the trash can.
I felt so bad. Poor Callisto. He didn't deserve that, but I mean, Steve Austin did that the whole time, and people cheered him. So it's like, I mean, I don't know. I think times have changed enough, and maybe they don't get it. You know, he goes out. He tipped an ambulance over. Whether or not it was assisted, it doesn't matter. That guy tipped an ambulance over. Of course, with the guy that 80% of the crowd that's vocal doesn't like. So I mean, maybe if that was the Undertaker, people would be booing him. I don't know. Maybe not. But
what's happened is we live in a world like back in the day, he would have easily been a villain because you want to see that hero overcome the big bully. Now people like big bullies, and it's like, and it's kind of, look at it like when you look at WWE in general, who are baby faces that are supposed to be baby faces that are, like, loved?
Sami Zayn's the only one I can think of.
And look how they treat him. It's like Sami Zayn and, like, for the men, like, it's more women natural baby faces than men, like Sami Zayn, and then it's like Seth Rollins, not really. No. Dean Ambrose, maybe.
Depending I'd on say who him, he's yeah.
He's yeah, and up. Yeah, and it's kind of like, that's it. Most of them are like psychotic, born of evil. Like, nobody, like, Roman Reigns is hated. No one, like, it's hard cheering for Randy Orton when he's burning down houses and desecrating graves. Like, I know he's handsome and everything, but it's like, he's not necessarily heroic. AJ Styles, I guess, is a babyface now.
He hasn't changed at all. I think they just finally gave up trying to make him, trying to, like, go against the crowd, I guess. I don't know. He's a confusing one.
Yeah, it's kind of like he got to the point where he's so good. What's the point of, like, what's the point of making him a heel? And it's like, there's no faces. So it's kind of like, it's almost like that whole Kurt Angle thing when even Kurt Angle made jokes like, I can talk about black people or make Jesus tap. They're still going to cheer me because I'm like, basically, like, it doesn't make a difference. It just matters what I do in a ring. Like, that's AJ Styles. And I think they kind of, like, accepted that. So, and Braun Strowman is awesome because he can talk well. He's imposing as hell, and he go and beside one, like, it's like he had a rematch, but this is the second main event match he had with the Big Show, that, and people are excited. Think about that. He's having 10-minute matches in the main event of Raw with the Big Show, and people are looking forward to him.
Yeah,
in 2017, mm-hmm. Big Show been around for almost 20 damn years. In WWE alone, and people are like, I can't wait to see them have. Oh, they should have gave a week to build it up. We're saying this about these two.
I was actually thinking, it's literally off the top of my head. Big Show said that was his last WrestleMania. Let's say Braun doesn't have anything to do for next WrestleMania for whatever reason. I say save that match and do it again. And you know what? Have the goddamn ring fall apart again. And then have the concert so you can put it back together. That would be so much fun. Just because the crowd, that... The entire, if they would, the entire time just fake that you're gonna suplex him, fake it the entire time. 20-minute match, and then finally at the end it happens. You know, just something. I don't know. That's so much fun to see.
It's funny where people kind of knew what's happening. Everybody knew that they knew they were like, as soon as you saw, it's kind of like, okay, they're having a match, and then they don't have the LEDs or the stairs there.
I didn't even notice that, actually.
Yeah, some people, you know, wrestling fans, they notice little stuff. Like, I noticed, like, the LEDs not being there. I didn't pay attention to the stairs. Kind of like, okay, you kind of see where this go. And they were teasing it, and it still happened. And it was, like, talked about. Like, I was on different non-wrestling websites, and they were talking about that. Like, people talking about how awesome it is. It's kind of like, Braun Strowman is awesome. Like, he's a big guy that moves well, talks well. He's worked his ass off to improve, and... People like it's not that surprising. People like him. Like, people love Brock Lesnar when he did this. People like bullies.
People still like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, like when Brock Lesnar came, started that. Basically, he came and just beat up everybody, like three and four at a time. He was going through, like, beating up the Hardy boys, yes. Blast him in the face with a chair, and he just looked at him like, "What the hell is wrong with you?" Like, stuff like that. Like, he basically ran through The Rock when The Rock was still. Rock was Mr. Big Time Guy, and the crowd cheered him because he was staying and yada, all that stuff. It's kind of like people like bullies. People like badasses. It's not the whole bullies. It's the fact that Braun and it doesn't hurt that he's going against Roman Reigns, who people can't stand.
Yeah.
And that definitely helps. And basically, half, like, you know, Roman Reigns has beat him in a match, but most of the time they interact, Braun Strowman beats his ass. And like, whatever. And it doesn't matter if it's after Braun has a match or if they're having a match. It's like, you know, you put them through tables, you put them through chairs, you like that whole thing with the ambulance thing. Like, first he beats him up, then they stretch him to the gurney, he tosses him off the stage with the gurney, Then they get him in the ambulance, and he flips over the ambulance. I'm like, he gonna show up at the hospital next, and, like, blow up the third floor,
like the Joker.
Yeah, people making jokes like Roman Reigns gonna go to Alderaan, and Braun gonna show up in the Death Star. It's kind of like people just enjoy that, like, and they're going, and more than likely, it's setting him up. Like, he's gonna beat Roman at the pay per view. It's setting him up to wrestle Brock Lesnar. He's not going to wrestle Brock off a loss.
See, I would actually love it if they change. Like, all right, I've said this on plenty of audios, but as a self-admitted big fan of Braun Strowman's, I would rather them change the plans up, and they won't. I would rather Roman beat Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, go into WrestleMania as a champ, and then have Braun beat him. Like, have Roman beat him the next time they face each other. I understand everyone's going to freak out. As long as the long-term picture is at WrestleMania, when we're in New Orleans, Braun and Roman for the title and Braun wins, yes, that's very self-serving. I understand that. Also, oh my God, that would be so great. Because no one would see that coming. They would just figure, you know, if Roman wins it again, something like that. But that's why I'm not in the industry either, so...
Yeah, like, I never do the whole booking thing. It's like, they tell the story, and if it's cool, I like it, and if it's not, I don't, and I keep it moving. And speaking of stories that I actually laughed at.
All right.
Yeah, we got to talk about something, because I will not lie. I saw that whole six-thing thing, and I heard the same people, and it's kind of like, people think, oh, it's, you know, either Sami Zayn or Luke Harper, because there ain't no way Jinder going to win. And then, you know, come from, like, imagine Jinder Mahal winning.
I thought the same thing, to be honest.
And but then when I thought about it, it's kind of like they don't want Randy Orton to wrestle a face, and this match isn't until like May. So this after this pay per view come up, it's the next pay per view. So it's like he's gonna wrestle a heel. It ain't gonna be. It's like no one sees Dolph Ziggler. It sure as hell ain't gonna be Eric Rowan. So yeah, but when he actually won, I started laughing my ass off, and because it's kind of like. People have been like, you know, Jinder Mahal won like two matches last year or some. They kept bringing up the stats. It's like no one could think of, like, you go from jobber to having a pay-per-view title match. Like a pay-per-view, like that's like James Ellsworth had title matches, but you know it wasn't on TV and it was like treated like not real ones, but people accepted that with no problem. With Jenna's like, I can't believe it. And then seeing how much the crowd hated him and him cutting that promo, I was just laughing my ass off. Like, it's because it's kind of like, this is why I like wrestling, because who would have guessed this?
Like I said, I didn't expect him to win, but I wasn't upset about it. I was kind of like, okay, you know, it. The promo after cracked me up because, I don't know, they were trying to do like your, like, the, he's basically trying to do the, was it Arya Daivari? We talked about this on the Stunt Granny show too, but I think it was Arya Daivari where he was like, you know, not Arya Daivari, Mustafa Ali, where he was saying, you know, as soon as you hear my name, you don't like me. This and this. And then that story turned into he won everybody over and he was wrong about everybody. Well, now they've got Jinder doing the same thing, but he's unlikable.
No, and it's different. Because people have been saying that they've been bringing up Mustafa Ali and Muhammad Hassan. Like, no, Jinder is not going out his way to be like, he's saying, you don't like me because I speak two languages, I'm educated, I'm wealthy, and I'm successful. Like, I'm the new American dream, and, you know, you don't like me because I'm better than you, and I'm different. Like, I don't have an American name. Like, this whole thing is like, not just I'm different and better. I'm going to let you know I'm better, and you can't stand it, and I know you can't stand it.
Yeah. Well, what cracked me up, though, is he was like, you don't like me because I've got a college degree or whatever it was, higher education degree. I'm like, you do? And then the next one was, I speak two languages. You do? And I do this. I was like, I didn't know that. And then that was supposed to be the talking point. It's like, dude, no one knows this because no one knows who the fuck you are.
Wait, people know he speaks two. His name is Jinder Mahal. He's speaking. He spoke more than one language.
Well, no. The language, in the context of the story, you don't.
Like, yes, you do, because he's cutting.
Nothing. What do you know about this guy other than he was in 3MB? He got released and then brought back out of the blue. He's TV.
Okay. I'm talking about TV. Yeah. Just the TV stuff. You know, because he's cut promos in multiple languages, and people boo whenever it's not English, because Americans, if it ain't English, it's terrorist talk. You know how that goes. So you know that part.
Okay, see, honestly, when has he cut a promo? I seriously, I'm not even being a smartass here. I have never seen him cut a promo.
The last time I seen he was tag team at Rusev.
Holy shit, I had forgotten about that too. That's how much I didn't care about this guy.
It wasn't that long ago. It's like, that's the whole thing. Is like, all the stuff he's talked about has been shown on TV before. It's like, people just don't care because it's Jinder Mahal. Like, his whole gimmick was, I'm rich and Kali married into my family for money and yada yada yada. Like, that was his initial gimmick. I'm a rich guy that's, you know, got money.
And, wow. And you're in the rabbit hole on this one. I don't remember any of this stuff.
Because why would you? It's Jinder Mahal. Why would you?
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, all the stuff he's saying is right, but it's like, people don't, you can't go from losing in 34, like losing like a minute to Finn Balor to all of a sudden you getting a title match. But wait, normally you couldn't, but I mean, people getting mad. Like, it's, what was it, Backlash? Whatever the pay-per-view is coming up, like, it's a SmackDown pay-per-view in May. Who cares? Like, like, if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. You haven't lost anything. Like, you really worry about finding us. Because guess what? If it was Sami Zayn and he lost, people would be getting mad saying Sami Zayn got wasted. If it was Luke Harper and he lost, people would definitely, including you and me, be like, they're wasting Luke Harper.
Yeah, well.
No one gives a rat's ass about Dolph Ziggler.
When you got you got him pegged.
Do you really want to see Mojo Rawley? Like,
no, never again.
Exactly. Like, period. They're saving AJ Styles. They're saving Nakamura. Rusev is hurt. Randy Orton has to fight. Randy Orton has to fight somebody. It's like, who's he gonna fight? I haven't heard anybody say, like, give me a better alternative that you wouldn't bitch about if they lost to Randy Orton in May. I've just heard people say, oh, I don't want to see Jinder Mahal. Who do you want to see? I don't want to see Jinder. You got to see something. Oh, guess what? It's on the network. You can watch something else. Like, it's Sunday. Watch the NBA playoff game. You don't even have to watch it. You can hear about the results later. You don't have to worry about wasting your $9.99 that night. You know, you can watch right along later. Like, it is no reason. People getting upset over this is, I get why people are getting mad. How angry they're getting, like the amount of vitriol involved is hilarious. Because it's like, he didn't win the Royal Rumble. Like, it's not like his main event in SummerSlam or something like that. This is an off month individual brand pay per view. You got to fill time. They're saving people to do important stuff, and other people are hurt. What else? Who else is Randy Orton going to fight?
I've been trying to think of that, and no one. But the funny thing is, they're purposely keeping AJ and Nakamura away from each other. I guess that's gonna be the SmackDown main event for WrestleMania, actually, which is pretty badass. But there is no one for Randy because they aborted the Bray Wyatt stuff. So it's like, whatever. I don't get. Like, I think it was Cam posted something that somebody actually went out of their way to find out Jinder Mahal's career record.
Uh-huh.
Like, that matters. Like, what's Heath Slater's record? He was a tag team champion when American Alpha was on the roster. No one cared.
The only reason that was posted, I laugh, is kind of like basically to prove how there's never been somebody this bad at wrestle, like, not counting David Arquette's or even like him, like James. It's never been somebody like this bad that's had like a title shot, like on, like even or because even like because keep in mind, I'm not even mad he had a title shot because it's precedence to a certain extent. Who was, because before JBL was JBL, he was a mid carder. Like, he jumped, he one day he was part of the APA, next week he has on a suit, and a month later he's wrestling for the title. Like, it was not this whole, they did not build that up for no 5-6 months. Like, he became from a nobody to a main eventer like in 2 weeks. R-Truth was messing around. They made fun of him because he drank water at a match. And then next thing you know, he turns heel, starts smoking cigarettes, and he gets a title shot against John Cena. Yeah, that John Cena, when he's dressing up as a Civil War soldier, and that Stone Cold thinking he was hallucinating. Like, so it's been done. Like, I've seen Bret Hart wrestle Virgil. Who Virgil ever beat? Bret Hart wrestled Virgil for the title on Monday Night Raw. Like, it's been, like, I've seen when Hunter was wrestling Takamichi Noku for the title on SmackDown or stuff like that during that. Like, so I've seen this, so it's not that surprising to me. And I think the big thing, like, if this was like a TV title match, like if they were saying the winner wrestles next week on SmackDown, no one would worry. Like, people would make jokes, but nobody would lose their mind. But the fact, like, oh, it's a pay-per-view and yada yada yada, I'm just looking forward to see how, because that pay-per-view is going to be in Chicago. I'm thinking either they're going to mutiny and just chant CM Punk the whole match, or they're going to mutiny and just cheer for Jinder Mahal just to be assholes.
That'd be kind of fun, actually.
Yeah, like, that part I'm looking forward to. And then somebody made a big point. This is almost a social experiment. Because say he gets over.
Yep. That's where I was going next.
Yeah, like, if he can get over after they're treating him like a... Because I've always said, if you... WWE, unless it's somebody that's just... damage, you can get almost anybody over you if you really want to. There was a time when Santino Marella was looked at as like a world title contender, like was getting cheered like the biggest face on SmackDown.
Remember a guy named Eugene?
Yes, like you remember that Royal Rumble that had 40 people, and the last two was Alberto Del Rio and Santino.
Yes,
and Santino snuck in, and people was like thinking maybe he might win. That's Santino Marella. People think he may win and go to WrestleMania. Because they, for like a month and a half, they booked him like he can beat people. That's the whole thing. Like, it's a reason. You know why he getting pushed? He's Indian. He's muscular. He can, I mean, he's not great, but he ain't not like, he can.
He's not trash.
He's not trash. No. Like,
that's what I think a lot of people are treating him like. And like, that's not fair. But.
Oh. No. Like, they book him so he loses matches. But that doesn't mean he can't wrestle. It's like.
Right.
Put it this way, if it was Enzo Amore,
no one would be complaining. Feel?
No one would be complaining. Nope. And then think about how Enzo Amore in a singles match.
Yeah.
With the two left feet. Yeah, exactly. With the two left feet. So it's kind of like, it's more the whole perception. And I think it's throwing people off. It's like, Jinder's never done anything. And now all of a sudden, he's got a title match. I'm like, it's wrestling. Like, people talking about, I can only suspend disbelief so much. If you can accept the Irish whip, you can accept almost anything in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
I've always said that, like, because that's the facts.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm still here.
Yeah, there you are. All right, I think it was my end. Sorry, I think I pulled the cord a little bit too much. But anyway, sorry. Good way to segue off wrestling then. While we were talking about Fate of the Furious last week, the internet dropped two giant trailers. We'll talk about one over the other, because the other one, I don't know, one was a teaser, one actually kind of showed you what was going on.
Oh, before you go in there, a quick thing, so you're talking about Fate of the Furious, because we were talking about how there wasn't a post-credit scene.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And apparently there was a post-credit scene. Allegedly, like, filmed with The Rock and Jason Statham by the other producer, Fate of Furious, like Neil Moritz, because basically one of the hot points of the movie was the chemistry the two had, and he was so impressed, he was, you know, basically filmed a scene to kind of, like, potentially lead into a spinoff with the two. Because they talked about The Rock having a spinoff for the longest, and now I guess this was kind of, like, built between him and Statham having one. And he did this without telling Vin Diesel. So apparently Vin Diesel's sister found out, told Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel got so upset, he told him to take it off the theatrical release. And then somebody else came and said, it wasn't for the theatrical, we're saving it for the Blu-ray. Now, I don't know who to believe with all this, and we've heard a lot of smoke. But it says a lot where, if you watch the movie, they don't have that many scenes together. They got maybe three.
Yeah.
whenever they've done promotion, they've done promotion once where I've seen them together when they first dropped the trailer during like Super Bowl week. And ever since then, The Rock's been one way, and Vin been somewhere else. Even when they've been in the same place, they've been in the same location, but not being together. And they've been kept separate, and you hear stuff like they try to work it out, and it's not that big a deal. But enough people have talked about it for it to be a thing. And you know The Rock's reputation, like being a guy like everyone likes him. You know Vin Diesel's reputation is like, you know, no one loves Vin Diesel like Vin Diesel. So it's, part of me keep thinking like this is just, they just want to get publicity and stage. But then it's kind of like, they don't need to do this. It's like, it's Fast and the Furious. Like, people know this movie. And one of the things people like about it is the whole, it's a family, everybody get together. And it's always been awkward feeling like the two biggest stars don't like each other.
I guess they wanted some sort of drama. You know, I don't get it. I mean, I guess it's just, well, two alphas in the same room usually butt heads eventually. So that doesn't surprise me, but there's been, I was actually just reading, not just reading, but I just read about the producer saying that number 10's probably it for the franchise, yeah. And that there's been talk of a Hobbs and, the hell's Statham's name?
Shaw?
Yeah, either a Hobbs straight-up spin-off series or the two of them spinning off, which I guess would go to that scene that they recorded, or I'm sorry, filmed, and then decided not to because they were told not to put it on there. So I can see, because Vin Diesel, you know, this is probably, what, 6 more years of this then, figuring? You know, well, if they make two,
they say
more?
They're doing two more. Next one is 19. Because they already scheduled that, you know, the next one's coming out in 2 years, and the last one's coming out 2 years after that. So they already talked about for a while, like, you know, these last three will probably be it. And of course, it's kind of like, people don't like turning out money, but it's like, you know, do something else. Because it's like, age also comes into a thing where,
right.
Because it's kind of like, you know, like Statham, Rock, and Diesel are in their 40s already. You know, I know The Rock, like, Statham's probably like mid-40s. Rock's early 40s. And to look at it from Vin Diesel, well, I know he has to feel a certain way because it's kind of like, this is your franchise and your baby. They basically begged you to come back to save it and you got producer credit. But then all of a sudden The Rock comes and just basically high step you. And you know, like he got to know, like Vin Diesel has 3 franchises and under normal circumstances, he'd be, you know, King Rooster. But with The Rock, it's The Rock. And you already know it's kind of like, no matter what I do, I'm not going to be as good as this guy. And I got to feel a certain way where I need him more than he needs me. And with somebody like Vin Diesel's kind of ego, that got to be something. And then throwing Jason Statham in there, kind of like, yeah, like I can understand Vin feeling a certain way, but then you got to be like, get over yourself. Let's make money. Like, cut this jealousy out. Because you still got producer credit. You're going to get paid regardless. The Rock being famous is going to help make you more money. What are you doing? It's like the whole, it's like almost like the WWE locker room thing where people get mad. Oh, he coming back, taking the spot. Dummy, you bought a new house because The Rock came at the WrestleMania. Like, what are you doing?
I guess that's where it goes to. That's a world we're not in that we're not going to understand. That there's, you know, the Hollywood games, whatever. I'm sure that's part of it too. But just make two more, make them good, please. And then you guys can do whatever you want after, outside of it, you know? That's the fan perspective. Just make good movies, please. So, which, we need to get to these. I was going to say we start with Thor Ragnarok first. Because, okay. Especially with Guardians of the Galaxy coming out next week. No, not, I'm sorry, not next week. 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, 2 weeks. The way they've been promoting it, it seems like it should be coming out tomorrow. But this trailer looked pretty insane. Like, I had to watch it a few times because I don't think the first time I watched it, I wasn't prepared for this. Because
yeah,
the first
said
two
that
Thor movies have been like, eh.
Somber. Or, like, the first one was kind of like, Hamlet in space, and the second one was kind of like, you know, the colors were kind of like, like it was felt like somber.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you know, Thor, and it's kind of like Thor shouldn't, like, they were treating Thor serious, and Thor ain't serious. Like, you talking about space aliens pretending to be Norse gods, dressing the way they dress, talking stuff like Mjolnir and the Rainbow Bridge and the Nine Realms. Like, no, that sounds goofy as hell when you got gods walking around with horn helmets. I don't care. I don't care how much gravitas Anthony Hopkins can say, talking about Steffelheim or Njofnir or like that. Like, it's a silly thing, and you should embrace it. And Guardians of the Galaxy being so successful, and I think Marvel with Kevin Feige kind of like letting the directors do their thing more, kind of open this up. Because I saw the trailer, I was not shocked. I was shocked. I was like, I was not even reading about it. I was excited about the movie, but then between like reading about stuff and then actually seeing it, I was not expecting to enjoy that trailer as much as I enjoyed it. I was like, this is batshit crazy. I can't wait for this movie to come out. Like, the colors, the whole scheme. Cause you talk about actresses and actors. Kate Blanchett has 2 Oscars.
She does?
You thinking you're going to see Kate Blanchett? Yes.
I had no idea.
She has 2. Yeah, so you see her with this 11-horn helmet on, walking around looking like the biggest badass on the planet. First time you see her, she breaks me on there, smiling, and then this goes from there. It's like, oh, it's going to be that type of movie? Like, they had the color scheme. You got – it looked like a Jack Kirby comic come to life is what it looked like. It looked like an old-school 60s, 70s comic. Like,
yeah,
you want to – I remember you saying, like, it looked like Guardians of the Galaxy. So, like, it should, because it's like, it's a shared universe. He's going to be in space. And Guardians of the Galaxy kind of opened that up. Like, that's a good, I think it's kind of like, it's a good thing, but you weren't expecting to see it. So it's kind of weird, because Thor, the first 2 movies seem kind of grounded. And this one is like, not grounded.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, this one there was like, all right, we got to do something radically different. And I think that goes to James Gunn creating the space, you know, creating the space universe, which is redundant as well. But, you know, he created a look of what outer space looks like in the Marvel universe. So if you're going to have a space movie, it's got to go along with that. So one, that's pretty good on Marvel's part to keep it, because you don't want to have, like, there's a difference between Star Trek and Star Wars, obviously. Like, in space and technology and that. So, but those are 2 totally different franchises and different studios. Well, Marvel, it's the same studio, and, you know, I want to say franchise. I mean, I guess it kind of is, but, you know, it's Disney and Marvel's the franchise, if you want to shoehorn it that way. But, yeah, none of that was expected. Like, it was bright colors, and then Jeff Goldblum's in there eating up scenery. Like, what? Why is he here?
As he should be. And they made the big – somebody asked him, like, well, the character in the comic is painted blue. Why didn't they do that? And the director's like, it's Jeff Goldblum. Everybody knows what Jeff Goldblum looks like. Like, I want you – like, basically, it's kind of like I want him to be him in all his glory. I don't want to hide it through CGI or a whole bunch of blue paint. I want him to shine like the peacock he is. How honest is that? That's so honest and refreshing, because it's kind of like, that's what I want to see. Because it's like, you know, you see Jeff, like, some actors can kind of like hide in their roles and you may not notice who it is. Jeff Goldblum ain't one of them. You see Jeff Goldblum, I don't care what movie it is. It's because, one, he's like, he's tall. He has this look, like, he stands out. He is not one to kind of like blend into nothing. And that's, I say that in a good way. So you see that Carl Urban with 2 machine guns.
I didn't know that was Carl Urban, first off. So that was pretty wild. Once I'm like, because you said that's right from the comics. I'm like, it is?
Yeah. Yes,
I'm not the Marvel guy. So
I'm not either, but I remember people talking a big deal when they cast something about it's something out there, like basically him holding the bridge, and he had machine guns, and this was in space. So the like that, and then I think they learned the one thing is kind of like with these movies, instead of just having them do the solo thing, it's Thor. It doesn't have to be just Thor. Get characters that you may not use in like their own solo movies, or you want them to do stuff and put them together. Like, Doctor Strange is in this. We always talk about like Hulk is kind of like how to use Hulk. Well, this is perfect, because it's kind of like Thor and Hulk have history. like even with the Avengers movie and anything like that. And people talk about Planet, like you can do Planet Hulk without doing a Hulk movie and getting in trouble, because it's kind of like, I think it's still with the rights where they can use the character as long as it's not a solo movie or some nonsense like that. So they dance around that. And then the whole line where you see him dressed up with the armor from the comics, and normally no one, like, you would not expect Thor's reaction to, like, start smiling and being happy, like, yes, that's a friend from work. I saw that and I just lost it, because it's kind of like, Thor should say that, but you would never expect to hear that. Like, normally it's kind of like, oh, he get all afraid or he get grim and everything like that. No, he's laughing and enjoying himself, because it's natural. And that's what it felt. It felt natural, even though all this weird shit was happening.
I think also, I mean, obviously it's only a teaser trailer. I also think, though, he sees Hulk like, oh, cool, I don't have to fight either. Mm-hmm. And that's why when like Hulk starts coming, he's like, are you kidding? And then all of a sudden there's Hulk coming in for a punch, and Thor with his, I don't know what, he had some weapon in his hand, didn't he?
Yeah, two swords, but it looked like he put him away. Like he was trying to uppercut him.
That was it, yeah. And and that's the end of the trailer, and you're stopped like, wait, what did we just watch? And I think, like I said, that was the part that was the whole thing just threw me. And that's why I kind of reacted the way I did, like, yes, okay. And you're like, we got the Hulk and Thor fighting in space, and your reaction is okay? It's like, I don't know what I just saw. Because, all right, before this preview, like you said, hey, they're making another Thor movie. All right. I'll go see it, but I'm not going to be, you know, over it. Another Thor movie had the same reaction that the Ant-Man movie had for me. And I actually really enjoyed Ant-Man.
But before, it's kind of like, well, who want to see Ant-Man?
Yeah, it's like, well, I've seen all the others. I mean, I know that's their business model, rope you in, but it's like, I'll go see
it. I think this one was different for me because it was like so much different things. Because one, first woman villain, because we haven't had one yet. Two,
main villain, at least, yeah.
Main villain, like, you know, the main villain is a woman. And then two, it's kind of like, you know, a different offbeat director that's known for comedy. I saw those little skits on the Doctor Strange Blu-ray, like Thor and everything, like behind the scenes. And yeah, it's funny. Like that different type of humor. Because it's funny what the directors Marvel getting lately have been ones you haven't thought would be do action movies. But it's kind of like this guy did Flight of the Conchords and something else. It's kind of like, why would they get him to do Thor? It's like, I think Kevin Feige is like, no, we want people that can tell good stories. We can handle the special effects stuff ourselves. We just want to humanize people. And like, he knows what he's doing when it comes to this as far as the movie thing. And there's like the casting. It's kind of like, you know, they're not going to be on Earth for the most part. They kicked Natalie Portman to the curb. You know, they got Jeff Goldblum. They got Carl Urban, Tessa Thompson from Creed. Then it's kind of like the Hulk's going to be in it. And then you hear Doctor Strange going to be in. It's like, it's a lot of... And then, keep in mind, it's like all the stuff that happened from the last one where Loki took over Asgard. And it's kind of like people forgot that happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's still there. And it's kind of like... So, I kept hearing stuff like I was intrigued to see it. But then I wasn't expecting them to just go balls out. And they basically went balls out. And it's kind of like, good. And you know what the funny thing is? And somebody brought it up. It's like Marvel been doing a test run with the old movies. And now it's kind of like, now we can do what we really want to do. Just think about that for a second.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I know we weren't talking about like Black Panther. Ryan Coogler's using his own cinematography team. He's not using Marvel's in-house one. They're letting him use it. Like, he's basically said, like, all the people who saw, like, early stuff, they basically, it's like a spy movie. Almost. And Marvel whole
Which
thing.
That, I think
like,
that makes perfect. That's yeah. That's really smart. Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, and they say it looks completely different because like it's a different. They let him do his style. And the main complaint people made with Marvel movies, like they're good, but they all kind of look and feel the same because it's always kind of like you got to do stuff and fit this way. And you notice they're starting to like move away from that a little bit, and I think they're going to start moving away from it a lot more because one, they can, and two, they can. And I think, and I'm like looking, I'm just, it's funny where Guardians of the Galaxy comes out in 2 weeks and Spider-Man comes out in July, yet I can't wait for Thor to come out.
Yeah.
How spoiled are that? It's kind of like, we have all these movies coming out and all these great things, and it's just kind of like all in the same year.
Yeah, because we've got. Do we even talk about Justice League's preview? I think we did quickly.
Yeah, we talked about it before.
Like Wonder Woman, like I saw Wonder Woman's preview before Fate of the Furious. It was the old one, and all I keep thinking is the whole time, like, please be good, please be good, please be good. I mean,
let's think about the fact that Justice League and Thor come out in the same month.
Have you seen? Yeah,
and it's, yes. And it's November. It's like a month that's normally like kind of like not a big movie month, and it's like that ship has sailed. It's like, why? This, yeah, well, I'm just looking at all this.
Yeah, we've talked about that. That I think that the whole idea is over.
I'm just thinking about all the stuff we're getting this year, and people just like, I'm glad I'm not jaded. That's the only thing I can say. Like, yeah. People are like, yeah, that's nice. I wish they do this.
I just don't know why they're making so many of these movies, but.
Yeah, people talk about that, oh, you doing, and it's not really that movie. Like, maybe it might be, what, 5-6 superhero movies a year compared to how many horror movies they do? 11? 12? But most of them are low budget, so they don't care. It's like, what? You got to see something. It's like, the movies make, you're surprised Hollywood making movies that make money. They like money. It's still a business.
Mm-hmm. No, it is a business.
Yes, it's a business, and people, and it's kind of like, it's not like the DC thing where they're making money, but people still, like, it's not getting critically. Like, Marvel movies, especially lately, tend to make money and be at least decent to good. Like, they don't have a whole bunch of Rotten Tomatoes stinkers anymore. Like, they had some in the beginning, but for the most part, even, like, the average ones might hit high 60s, low 70s.
Yeah, I mean, no one expected Ant-Man to do what it did. So
yeah, most of them kind of like hitting, like, you know, the good ones hit high 80s, low 90s, and making a crap load of money. Yeah. So it's like, we're getting this. We're getting these big time stars and these big directors, and now Marvel's like, you know what? You guys do how you want to do it. We're gonna help you out, but you got your own stuff. Just think about the fact where. We didn't talk about, when we talk about diversity in movies, like F. Gary Gray had the biggest opening all time for like a black director doing Fast Furious. And that's going to last up until February when Black Panther comes out. And it's just going to get blown out the water. Because guess what? You know what month that movie's coming out in? February.
Is it really? I was
Yes, it's coming out. Please, you think that movie's not going to make all the damn money in the world? Like, Marvel doesn't do any. Like, they have a plan, and they do stuff, and it's kind of like, oh, you're going to have it all Black History Month? Well, why wouldn't you? You're going to have probably the blackest big-budget movie that's ever been made. Of course you're going to have it come out in February.
Yeah, and see, the reason I reacted that way, and I don't know why, but I... No. I don't know why I am bothered by what I'm going to say, because I ignore this stuff anyways. But he also just got fired, but... People like Bill O'Reilly, the Fox News things, you know they're going to try and finagle this into some sort of not conspiracy. I don't know. This is an ongoing thought that I'm trying to put together here. But just, you know, instead of it just being the movie, it's going to be, oh, is Marvel trying to turn this to Black America, just some dumbass.
Jeremy,
you know what I'm talking about, though?
What's the name of the movie?
Yes.
Just say it out loud.
Black Panther. Oh, shit. Hey. I didn't even think of that part.
It's no way, like...
Is Marvel backing the Black Panthers? Like, oh, fuck, like, you.
Just think about all the stuff that came out with, like, Luke Cage... And then multiply that by a million. It's going to be a movie called Black Panther with a predominantly black cast in a country that's designed to be most technologically advanced country on the planet. Mm-hmm. It ain't no way to dance around that.
And nor
should they, like, embrace that, because it is what it is. People going to say whatever they want to say, and they're going to get laughed at, as they should. So I would just go all in. Like, if you're going to do it, go all the way. Don't you straddle the fence, you end up falling on your nuts, as I like to say. So don't straddle the fence.
It's still
jump
something
over
funny
it,
about saying
moving it.
Nuts instead of balls or dick and balls, whatever. Anyways, but you mentioned November has Justice League and Thor. Well, they finally December is among us, is coming up on it, and we're getting the next Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi, and they've released, you know, their teaser like they did before. No idea what this movie's about until the final, you know, final line of the trailer where Luke says, it's time for the Jedi to go away, or, like, it wasn't for the time for the Jedi to die, right?
Jedi to end, or something
like
that. That's
it, it was end, yes. And that's how the trailer ends, and you're like, wait, what? What did he just say? Whew. Man, you know, people can say what they want about Force Awakens. Everyone enjoyed it until, you know, it wasn't cool to enjoy it. I'm really looking forward to this one because, it, to me, part of it had that vibe of Rogue One. And there was an actual, there looks like there's going to be an actual space battle this time, which makes it even sweeter. But, you know, you have the Millennium Falcon flying around. You have no clue who's piloting it. I'm guessing Rey, because Chewie, Rey, and, yeah, R2-D2 went to see Luke. So I'm guessing that's that crew flying back. And then you've got whatever those land ships were that were kicking up the red dust on the planet. I mean, whew. Kylo Ren looking like a badass, apparently getting rid of his helmet for whatever reason. I mean, it gave you so much, but nothing at the same time. It's all in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great.
They know what they're doing at this point. It's kind of like, we're just going to give you enough because we know you're going to stop, pause, and break down every single scene and every single look. And unlike Rogue One, they don't got to convince, like, this is Star Wars proper. They ain't got to convince nobody nothing. All they got to do is just, we're going to give you a little bit. We know you're going to come. We want you to break stuff down and speculate and wonder and guess and hope. And people get frustrated. I want more. And it's like, you're going to get it when we want you to get it. You know, and I know it's both going to be there. And unlike The Force Awakens, this, like, Force Awakens had a tough job. It's kind of like, you got to reintroduce Star Wars to a whole new generation. And people forget about that. It's like, people just assume everyone knows Star Wars. And I made a point, like, China, Star Wars is not a big deal. Like, they don't know what this space wizard crap is. They turn their nose. Like, Resident Evil movies may make more, like, in China than Star Wars movies did opening night. It's like, so you got to fight over, like, now it's a global thing. And, like, you got a whole generation who didn't see the originals, or the only thing they know about Star Wars is the prequels. And it's like, you got to cover that. So, like, it's almost kind of like, we're going to do Star Wars, the, you know, A New Hope 2.0. Whatever. People acting like that's a, like, the first Star Wars. Like, is that a bad thing considering they did it well? It was enjoyable. Like, I know the whole thing is like the turning. You know, like, I still watch The Force Awakens. It's fun. It, like, it's knowing everything that happened is enjoyable. It comes on Stars all the time. And even though, like, I'll flick and watch it even for a few minutes. But now they don't have to worry about doing that. It's kind of like, you know, we set the pavement down. Now we can take our own steps. Rian Johnson is an excellent director, and now it's him get to do what he wants with Disney money. Mm-hmm. We're basically like with an unlimited budget. Like, you know what? You can do whatever you want. You got the best help in the world. It's almost being like Dak Prescott on the Cowboys. Like, you coming in, and you got the best offensive lineman. You got a world-class running back and world-class receivers. Don't mess up. We're going to give you whatever tool you need to succeed. And he's got this cast where people are excited. Like, I have no idea what's going on and stuff. But I just know what I saw was cool.
Yeah.
And I'm not the type of one to, like, guess and everything like that. I'm like, I'm looking forward to seeing this movie just to see everything. And it's kind of like, you get to see Luke finally. Like, you know, doing Luke stuff. And that's the biggest thing is, like, you know, Force Awakens, like, this is the biggest key. Like, you waiting to see Luke, waiting to see him. You finally see him. He don't see anything, and the movie ends. And it's like, it's awesome that you see him. He looked like an old badass, and then the movie ends. It's like, oh, come on. Like, really? Like, and now it's, yeah, like, no. You want to see, you got to pay and wait. And they know what they're doing with this. And it looks gorgeous. It looks beautiful. Yes. And, like, you know the characters now. And you want to see the new. You want to see if old characters get more time. You want to see the new characters they add. Because it's like, keep in mind, Benicio Del Toro is in this movie.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Exactly. Right. It's like, I'm sorry, excuse me. We can respect this. A Academy Award winner Benicio del Toro was in this movie. So let's give him the credit. It's kind of like they, and you don't even know what character he's doing. I don't remember seeing him, and it's like, I don't care. I can't wait to see the real trailer, and then Christmas time, I'm going to be there, and you're going to be there.
Oh, yeah. I won't make the same mistake of going to the same garbage theater I went to as well.
Oh, yeah, you go one, like, how you like Force Awakens? I don't want to talk about it. I don't think it's that good. Now I realize half the speakers didn't work, and the screen was dim.
Yeah, I could barely see or hear anything. No wonder I didn't enjoy it. Ugh, never again. Oh,
that was a classic show right there, because I was talking to y'all like, did he get in a fight? I'm thinking, like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, I should have fought that goddamn projectionist. That's what I should have fought. Have some self-respect and fix your theater. Never mind.
It's kind of like, how are you going to do that with Star Wars?
But the funny thing is, like, I told people I went to this place, and fuck them, Arboretum out in Galleria, if you're outside of Charlotte, and... I guess it's known that they have a crappy theater. Like, the cool part is that you can drink while you're in there, and they have, like, you know, they come up to you, I almost said table side, but it's not a table, but, you know, they come up, they serve you your stuff there, you can drink while you're watching movies. I'm like, alright, that's fine. But am I supposed to get liquored up to enjoy the movie? Because no. Anyways, that's last year. But it looks badass. It's funny when you said people were going to dissect it. Did you see that people have already made mention that Kylo Ren's scar is different?
Yeah, and Jesus. The director came out and said, yes, it is, because he figured having that big-ass scar would look goofy, and it's kind of like they have healing tanks, and he knows the Force. Yeah, so it's kind of like, I'm not that surprised. They thought he was going to walk around with a big X on his face the whole movie. Like, this ain't Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's not. What is Anakin to him? Is that his grandfather?
That,
Yeah, it'd be his grandfather.
Yeah, grandfather, because that's Leia's dad. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like, well, your grandfather didn't have those luxuries back then, because he got all cut up, and then the Emperor put him in a suit. So,
but he had, like, third-degree burns on 200% of his body.
Yeah, the body that was left, yes.
But no, speaking of trailers and teasers, the funniest one I saw, and it was hilarious, was Kingsman, because they had like a...
Yes, that was just on
like,
Monday.
It was like 6 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I watched it, I'm like, it ain't April 1st, is it? And then people actually slow down. I'm like, I'm not slowing down and breaking this down. I'm like, when they show a real one, I watched that, but I just laughed my ass off. I was just kind of like, they making fun of us at this point. Like, people just gobble up anything on the internet.
Well, you did see where someone slowed it down and took like that 15 seconds and it pushed it out to a minute?
Yes, I did. And I gave them a high five and kept on moving with my day.
I watched it, so there's really nothing in there. But
yeah, but
we got to get out of here. But
oh, one quick
thing. We got to mention Deadpool.
Yes, because they finally cast Cable, which has been talked for the longest. People have thrown their hats in. I know, what's his face from Avatar?
Yeah, that guy.
Stephen Lang was doing his push-ups trying to get it. I know Kyle Chandler was thought to be the favorite of the old director, and they were like, no, that's why the old director left. And then people thought Michael Shannon was going to get it. And then all of a sudden, out the blue, Josh Brolin is going to be Cable. And Kevin Feige gave, like, say he doesn't have a no compete clause in his contract. Like, he watches the movies too. Kudos to him. He congratulated him. You know, Ryan Reynolds made his jokes as he does, and I was not expecting that.
No, because he's Thanos, and
yeah,
you know, people. Oh nope, he's Thanos. All right, so we got to find someone for Joel. You know, you're in your. You know, your wheelhouse now. You're in your comfort zone, I guess it would be it. So he's this, and that's it. Because people don't think outside of it. I mean, we got caught up in that, too. But I really, like, Josh Brolin doesn't really register on my actor's radar anyways. So
it's funny
but it makes sense, though.
Yeah. Like, you know why? I would tell anybody that would think if you could do it or not, watch Men in Black 3.
Like, yes.
he's basically playing a younger version of Tommy Lee Jones, even though he looks almost the same age as Tommy Lee Jones in that movie. Like, that's uncanny how well he plays that role, because it's like, sometimes you wonder, like, is that, he played it like he was Tommy Lee Jones, not pretending to be Tommy Lee Jones, like he really was. Like, he nailed that role, like, gruff and stern with a slight sense of humor and, like, straight deadpan hard ass. That's Cable. Like, that's, and especially Cable and Deadpool, like, it's funny, that's why that works, because you think of those characters, like, they have nothing in common. And I think that's the whole point. It's kind of like, you know, Cable is like, my dad had to put me in the future, and I was already an old man when I met him, and I had to save different timelines, and I've been fighting a virus my whole life, and I had child soldiers and multiple women. My girlfriend was played by a shapeshifter, wasn't really my girlfriend, and yada, yada, yada. And then Deadpool's Deadpool.
Yeah.
Like, you know you're going to get a joke about him being Thanos in that movie at least once or twice. Like,
oh, for sure. Yeah, there's no way that like, doesn't happen.
Because it's kind of like, people know, and it's like, I don't, it's not a problem, but you just don't think of that happening, because you've had comic characters play different roles, like different movies, but not at the same time. Normally it's like, they do one, like, you know, Michael, like, because, you know, Chris Evans was the Human Torch, and then he was Captain America. Michael B. Jordan was the Human Torch, and now he's going to be a Black Panther. You know, Ryan Reynolds was Green Lantern, and then he was Deadpool. But it's not like, imagine Wolverine being Wolverine, and then Wolverine showing up as Deathstroke. You know, like Hugh Jackman being Deathstroke, and like, and they come out in back-to-back weeks. Like, that you haven't seen, because it seemed like the schedule would kind of preclude that. But it's like, you know, Thanos stuff is more like, probably like motion capture for the most part. I'm sure a lot of this, like, Josh Brolin, I put a picture, he had like a big mold on his head, because I'm guessing they're gonna CGI up Cable, because thanks to Rob Liefeld and his nonsense of scale, Cable walks around like he's 9 foot tall and 600 pounds. But like, so that was the big thing, like, wondering, like, how are they going to film that? Like, is it going to be practical? Is it going to be like, see, like him on a CGI face like Colossus? Like, that's what I'm curious to see. Like, I don't have a problem with the casting. Wasn't expecting it, because I was expecting out there. He's fine. I was just surprised more than anything. And I'm looking forward to see how this plays, because, like, I wonder, like, if Deadpool is going to suffer the same thing as, like, Fast 8 did, where the movie beforehand was such an anomaly. You know, is it kind of like trying to recapture? Like, was it, like, kind of like a genie in a bottle thing? Or is it going to be, like, Orange the God to, like, build on something? Because it's still going to be R-rated, and R-rated movies still have ceilings, where it's kind of like, the Deadpool made the most of the R-rated movie. It didn't break $800 million. Like, that's a lot of money, but it's still kind of, like, limited. And at least Fox is kind of like, they've shown, like, between this and Logan making the money it made, like, they don't care. Like, if it's good, you keep the budget down, do what you want at this point. I'm looking forward to seeing a movie, but I'm like more curious than anything, because it's just weird. But universe, like, Deadpool is the linchpin of the Fox movie universe is a weird thing to say. So,
I got nothing else to add to that one. Yeah, I just, Josh Brolin was never someone that registers with me. I thought Michael Shannon was weird, but that works out now. So, but this is a movie we have no idea when it's coming out. 2019, maybe?
Next year. 2018.
Yeah, better hurry. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he signed a 4-movie deal, like this, X-Force, and some other stuff.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so, like, they got stuff. It's funny where they got all this stuff in the pipeline, because they talking about, because I know the New Mutants thing is starting to cast, like, they started casting that and talking about the script and the director, and they've been talking about the next X-Men movie, and I'm like, y'all doing a lot of stuff at the same time with not a lot of details. Like, it's almost like a drunk guy driving an Uber, and they somehow get there on time. That's how I always look at Fox. It's like, stuff works when it's like, it almost works accidentally. That's what Fox Studios is. Like, we accidentally get there. Like, somehow, like, I missed a few turns. I'm half drunk. I almost hit a dog, but I made it on time. congratulations. And they'd be like, that's how I planned it. Like Big Trouble in Little China, like Jack Burton. That's what I think of Fox right now.
Yes, because especially, well, to wrap the show up, not when you get drunk, not all your ideas turn out to be good. Look no further than Fantastic Four. So,
well, like I say, sometimes
for every grand slam, there's a foul tip.
That's him. That's him hitting that sign. You know. Like you ran over that door with Fantastic. And to wrap it up, because we talked.
Yes.
And to wrap it up, I would just say this. I know Marvel and Fox are kind of, they kind of thought like they're playing better with each other. Can we please work something out? Like, even like X-Men stay in Fox. I don't even want them in Marvel DC. Can we please have Doctor Doom in the Marvel DC, in the Marvel proper universe? Please. Like, can we do that? And then. That's fine. That's all I want. I don't care about the Fantastic Four, whatever. But free Dr. Doom. We need to start that petition.
So, kids, get the petition started. What we're going to do is get the hell out of here. So, yeah, we got nothing coming up on the horizon. Well, actually, Flash and all that comes back, so we'll probably get into those next week. Which I find funny because they're still filming episodes that end in the middle of May. Or, yeah, middle of May, end of May. So, I hope they're all good. But I'm going to get out of here. I'm Jeremy. Thanks for listening. Follow us on social media, especially, you know, subscribe to the show. Leave us a review if you would. It's Stunt Granny. You get us where we watch stuff. Stunt Granny Audio, which is our wrestling focus, unless, you know, Shahid and I get on there and barrel into whatever we want to talk about. And OPA, when Kevin records. I know I'm missing somebody, but that's too bad. So I'm out, and have a good week, guys.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Dohati, and please don't hinder gender. We are out.